I would like to start the meeting today, November 15th at 5:18. Please stand for the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I would like to let you guys know that Mr. Olmos will be joining us a little bit late. He's on his way. Okay. Adoption of the agenda.
I'll move to adopt the agenda for the meeting of November 15th.
Second the motion.
Aye.
Item two, call to the public.
Nobody's home.
Risa, just for the minutes' sake, I would like to, and then for the recording, I would like to just remind the public that this is a time where we are open and available for anyone who has anything they would like to come in, and you know, if they have a concern or they have an idea that would make our school better, this is a wonderful time for them to come and present it to us and allow us to, you know, hear some different opinions and not just our own.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. Okay. Item three, consent agenda. So we're going to do item A, approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting October 11 of 2022.
I have nothing.
The only thing that I have for you guys, and I've already done it on my computer, but Mr. Olmos was not available, and for some reason when I thought I erased him, but I shifted him underneath Donna's name, and so I will put down that he was absent.
Okay.
That was the one thing I saw.
That was the last meeting on those
meeting? Yes, that last meeting.
Absent. Okay. Done.
He wasn't on the phone either?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Oh, okay.
I think he intended to, and something happened, but he wasn't here.
Okay. I thought he was. Okay.
I know. I didn't even notice that on there.
Yeah, all the voting and everything's 2-0. I had moved him. I thought I erased him, but I just shifted him under Donna, and I never looked in that column again. So that was my fault. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Item B, presentation of October financial report.
Okay. On the October vouchers, the first two expended payments were all in about the same 20,000 range. The third voucher that week was increased, almost doubled actually, from the other two because we had paid over $10,000 from the building renewal grant. That was for, I'm sorry, I'm trying to put my finger on it here. And then we ended up paying some health insurance on that, so that one increased another $13,000. The payment for reimbursement for the SRO, that was $64,000, and the building renewal, we had paid for laptops that we purchased out of that, and the HVAC for the sped room. That was over almost $11,000. So those were the big ticket items on that one voucher that totaled $59,000.
Wouldn't the insurance?
It was health insurance.
Wouldn't that come out of payroll, though?
Most of it does. But the way they bill and the way it comes out of our checks bi-monthly,
yeah,
it doesn't always match. Their bills have been getting adjusted. I've had to add a couple people on for this month that started work in October. And so they're adjusting, so their bills and me do not always match. I check off the bills, make sure everybody's on there that needs to be, but it's just the way they bill. You don't always match.
But wouldn't the funds for the, because it comes out of payroll, wouldn't it go back into payroll?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be listed on the payroll?
Most of it is. See, their bill in October, I think, was a little over $40,000.
Are you talking about 2214?
Yes, because what I'm saying is, doesn't insurance come out of payroll?
Yes.
So why is it listed under a voucher and not under payroll? Not voucher, but...
Right, I know what you're saying.
Expenses.
Yes.
Because I don't get enough out of payroll to match their invoice. And if I send them too much, they don't know what to do with it. And if I send them too little, they say we have outstanding amounts. So I have to pay what is on their invoice. We get caught up about in February when there has not been any changes. And I have checked every person individually and made sure what their monthly amount is times 12 divided by 20 pays is coming out exactly what they're going to get billed for the year, or we're getting billed for the year.
And we've done this before? Mm-hmm. I haven't.
Yeah.
I've never noticed that.
Yeah, and it has. Yeah. Yep.
Especially when you have like we hired that new teacher in October, so whenever you hire someone not on thing, sometimes it gets screwed up with them. Mm-hmm. We've had some issues with the billing, and we've had to go back and forth on that. This is just health care, but we've had some other issues with Aflac and some other things, too.
And how about the school nurse, the one that's here? Wouldn't that be under payroll?
Mm-hmm. But I thought it was grant.
Yeah, well, it's coming from a grant. It's through ASAP. So basically, Donna can explain it maybe, but I believe it's similar to the SRO where we pay and then we put in for reimbursement.
Correct.
And then we pay the SRO, they bill us, we pay the county, and then we get reimbursed by the state.
Correct.
What a bunch of rigmarole.
Yeah, it would be just if, you know, you got a $50,000 grant, if they just wrote us a check for $50,000, but then I suppose there would be people that would find a way to cheat or something. So when you put in for reimbursement, you also show how you paid it so that they know you actually paid it.
Yep.
So it's their double check on us to make sure we're doing it correctly.
Right. And then just one more thing, I know where it says voucher batch number, on the actual description, it's 2314.
Uh-huh.
And on the paper, it's 2214.
Oh, I see what I did.
Just
okay,
to fix
I'm
that.
Sorry.
No, just to okay. Make sure we have the right numbers listed.
Yep.
2214. 2314. Okay.
Thank you.
So they're all, that second digit on all of them is off one.
Now, are we saying, Brisa, that was the number 2214?
It's two.
Yeah, the back.
So they're all
on
that
sheet.
They should be all 23.
23-12,
23-13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
I put 23-14.
Yep.
Thank you.
Copy from last year.
And payroll still?
Yep, that's all pretty much together.
Okay.
Very slight, very little. Uh-huh.
Okay. So we did item C, approval of October vouchers. Okay. Item D, approve the payout for 2021-2022-301 PPP for all teachers who were on staff as full-time teachers for the entire 2021-2022 school year.
And they were in good standing. So, in other words, they had to be employed, they had to be over 50%, and they had to be in good standing with the school at the end of the year. Donna, did I give you those lists so you could give to everybody?
It's in the book. Yeah, it's in their packet. Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure you had that. It listed everybody that got or will get the bonus. That bonus is was written into the 301 plan, and it was for when we became a C school or better. And we received that information like November 3rd or 4th. I think I sent everybody an email on that. And then so then we could move forward with that bonus. But we don't have to have it approved because you already approved the plan, but I wanted it in here for documentation. And so you knew that we paid that bonus out this year. So, and then that will also go to anyone who is here and left as long as they were in good standing and they were here for the complete year. And they were more than a 50% teacher.
And this will be given out on the pay date of November 25th?
Correct.
Black Friday, yes, whatever that day is. I just know it's the Black Friday date.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you. Item E, approve coaching positions, Kathy Normont for girls basketball and Kelly
Demenay
as assistant coach.
Right. Kathy is Callie's mom, and Kathy has about 28 years coaching experience, but they're going to do it together. Callie is going to be the assistant, and she's going to use her time for her volunteer time for the 301 plan, so she won't be paid for it. I think it's a win-win situation. Kathy subs for us. She's been approved to be a sub. We have all of the fingerprint card and all the background information. So it's not somebody from the outside. There really wasn't anybody that stepped up. Mike sent emails around to the staff and looked around and put it on the website. And then he kind of talked to Kathy because Callie said she would be interested if he didn't have anybody else. So he talked with her and brought her to us, and we're able to get somebody that will teach the fundamentals to the girls and teach them how to play basketball. And we get two coaches for the price of one. It's kind of a win-win for us, I think.
Mother-daughter duo.
Yes. So, you'll like, if you get a chance to go to a game, she's a very experienced volleyball and basketball coach. So I think it'll be really good for the kids. She knows what she's doing. So teaching them some of the fundamentals will be good because we struggled a little bit last year.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Item F, distribute of 2022 superintendent evaluation.
Okay, so everybody should have that evaluation in there. It says to pass it out November 10th, so we're 3 days behind, 4 days, 5 days behind. But we couldn't meet on Friday or Thursday last week, so... it's the same evaluation that you've done for the last however many years. One thing that Don mentioned to me, and if I got some questions, maybe that you guys would like to ask. Don asked me if maybe we could do a survey of the staff, do kind of what's that kind of survey called again, Don? Yeah, Survey Monkey. I talked with Mr. Rodriguez, and he said that he would help put one together. But I just thought if there were any specific questions that the board would like, if you guys could get them to me within the next week, I can get that, and then I could have it for the staff so they could do the survey next week, next Monday and Tuesday, and maybe the following Monday.
So when are we doing the evaluation itself?
We would go over the evaluation at the next board meeting, unless, I guess that would be the time to go over it. I am going to bring up about maybe having a retreat, and if we would like to do that, you could use that part of it to go through it and then just include that in a report. We have to give a report whenever you go through it. So I would suggest December 6th, and we just have a closed session along with that, if December 6th works out as the next board meeting for everybody.
Tim, do you still have the other instrument for the evaluations? This is one that we've utilized. But I've never really liked this one.
This is the only one that I have from. I'll look. This was the one that was in the booklet.
I just never liked this one. It's very just generic, I guess. But you've never found the other instrument?
I will look and see. This was when I opened it up. This was the one that was, you know, on top, and there was another one, but it looked very similar to this. So I just thought I had two copies.
Well, I'm just, to tell you the truth, I just would like to know if do you still have the other one? I know that they're just really different. One is easier than the other, but it's kind of the same thing. This one is just, and the reason I've been suggesting SurveyMonkey is because the evaluation of the superintendent, we don't work with you on a daily basis, and that's why I think it's important for the staff to also have a voice as far as their day-to-day, interactions with their superintendent.
Yeah, I that's fine. I will look, Don. I have all of the survey or all the evaluations that you guys have done for the last 3 years, and they're all in sealed envelopes, so they're not open, so I could take a look too and see what it was. To see what it looked like. I'm just trying to remember.
It's no big deal. I was just curious. Yeah.
If I find the other one, I'll just call you guys. I'll look Sunday when I get back, and then I will call you guys, and I could just deliver it to everybody.
Well, I just know the other board members haven't even seen the other instrument that we've used in the past, and so I thought it'd just be good for them to have something to look at and consider. That's all.
Okay, I don't know, then I would have this. All I have is what's in the board policy packet. I don't have any separate superintendent eval, because this is the only one that we've used since I've been here, I thought.
Mm-hmm. It is, I believe, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. I'll look on Sunday and just see if there's anything different in that in the policy package. I just believe this was the one we had used, and so I saw it and I didn't look any farther, but I can certainly look, extend it a little bit and see if there is anything else in there.
All right.
If there is, I will get a hold of everybody, let you know, and bring it to you Sunday night.
Okay. Item G, distribute the 2020-2021 single audit corrective action plan.
So there were five findings in the plan that we got last week. This is the the audit we got last board meeting, not last week, sorry. This is the corrective action plan off of the five findings of what we needed to do. Some of it we actually already had done, some of it we were in the process of, and some of it we still have to do. So there are five points that we submitted. The state accepted it. There should be a letter that Donna gave you guys that showed that they had received it and accepted the I'm trying to think of what it's called. Title of it was.
It was management decision letter.
Management decision letter.
This is the one, it's the one I set on the table tonight. Uh-huh. I set three pages on the...
This little guy here?
Yep.
Little letter?
Yep, that's it.
There should be an email from the Auditor General. There should be a superintendent report, and there should be a letter that says management decision letter on the far top.
Yeah. And this is the other one he just mentioned.
With these two.
Mm-hmm. That's the email that was sent out today, right?
Yes, the one we got from the state today. I just made a copy in case. I didn't know if everybody had a chance to read their emails or not. I thought it was sent to the private emails, and so I didn't know who could see it, who couldn't during the day. So I just made a copy of it for you. So what this... this corrective action plan does is it basically addresses the areas where we had findings from the auditor and what needs to be done to correct those findings so that they're not there in the future. The problem that we have, and it was addressed in the management decision letter and then again with the corrective action plan from that we'll have to put together for the Auditor General, is that this is not the first year that we've had many of these similar problems. And so we have to have a better plan as far as trying to think of the right word here, but as far as checks and balances go, we have to have it down more so that the follow-up and documentation is attached. One of our biggest problems has been in the audits, they will pull things and we don't have the documentation attached to it. Or, if you go through the five findings, the first one the financial reporting audit compliance, and that means that's what I'm talking about when I say supplying explanations or documentation to all the records when you maybe do a journal entry or if you do a purchase order or anything like that, you have to attach the documentation, and that was one of the things we put in the corrective action plan. And we have visited about this 3 years ago, again, this audit was for the year prior to when we hired Kristen King. So, things have changed, but obviously bringing her in 1 month's time, we didn't have everything fixed that was going south, and this is what we get with five major findings. The second finding was the supplying of explanations and supporting data for journal entries. So purchase orders and things is one, journal entries is another. Again, it's the same exact issue, but you the old saying, document, you can't over document this stuff, because the more you have, the more it protects you. The food service, the third finding, what that was I'll let Donna can explain it, but when you are doing the food service, you have to replenish the food service with, you can't let it go into the red. And there was a failure to move money into the food service, I believe is what we did wrong, Donna?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And the fourth item, the fourth finding on there was purchasing ethics, and really all that was that we needed to get Donna's name off the credit card because Donna's the one who paid the bills, and They talked about it last year, and I guess I thought we had this done, but it is done now, but it didn't get done until September. So, and that's just to make sure that you don't want the same person that can go out and charge on a card to be the one that's paying the bills. So it's just protection. Not that there was a problem or an issue, that it was just that that makes it so that you make sure there is no issue. And the last finding was reconciliation to the county treasurer. And part of that problem was that we weren't current on a monthly basis balancing to the county. That was, if you remember, that was why we, one of the things we brought Kristen King in to do, and we are currently balanced each month, about 15 days into the month, we're balanced for the previous month now. We weren't, and with that led to a problem where we had different things that either the county superintendent's office didn't understand that happened, or it was posted to the wrong account and we didn't catch it right away. And so each month we had these variances. And you can't have, I mean, if you have a variance in your accounts, there needs to be an explanation why. You can't just say variance. So when the county superintendent's office couldn't figure out why we had, they had a different number than we had, they just, the rationale they gave was variance, and our auditor said that's just not good enough. So I believe right now all of these have been, we've gone back through everything, and it's all been cleaned up, and we are, we have taken care of all of these. Am I not correct, Donna?
You are correct.
Yeah, but for 2021, that was the problem, and that was one of the reasons why we went out and we hired that other position, so that we had some extra help.
And Tim, what is the title on that position of Kristen King?
We just entitled it Assistant Business Manager.
Okay, but does she doesn't really have experience, right?
She had quite a bit of experience. She was in the business office at the prison, so when you're, I mean, to be an assistant, you know, I don't know what, with the people that we interviewed, you know, we tried to hire one other person, but I think we got lucky that we didn't get that person after talking to who hired her. And, I mean, I think we, Reese, I believe, sat in the interviews. I would say that she's able to do, do the things.
She knows what she's doing.
Well, I'm just saying, her being in the prison system, helping with business, and we're in a school system, that's like night and day. As far as
it's a lot more similar than working.
It's similar because you're working with the numbers, and it's trying to control what comes in and what goes out, and what's being received by the prison, but right here it's the school. It's pretty much keeping track of the numbers and trying to keep them where it balances from one sheet to another.
So the other thing, Dawn,
with what we're dealing with.
The other thing, Dawn, that she had a lot of experience in was procurement, which we had gotten written up for 2 years in a row, 1 year before I got here, and the first year I was here on audit findings. Our procurement, we hadn't followed all the practices, and she does all of the procurements now, making sure we have all of the papers, all of the data, all of everything supporting all together. We did not get listed on that last year. She was able to make sure that was done correctly, and this year everything is good, in good shape. I shouldn't say last year, from 22, which we won't get audited now until February, and then 23 we don't get audited until the following February. But those were things that we were looking for, being able to balance the books, which she does. She works with the county treasurer's office to to balance out to the county treasurer's office every month. Those were the things we hired her for. And then when we hired her, if you remember, we said we were going to not only be training Donna, but we trained Kristen as well with all of the ASBO trainings so that she would learn education finance. Because you're right, education finance is a little different, but for the main things that we hired that position for to start with, it was pretty similar to what she was doing before.
Well, don't get me wrong, it's very complicated, I acknowledge. So.
Mr. Macklin,
yes, sir.
What kind of findings are you expecting for the 2021-2022 school year?
The biggest thing that I thought we would have issues with was making sure that we had cleaned up our variances with the county. But we were able, within the last month, we cleaned up all of the variances with the county dating back over a year. And Debbie, I can't remember which Debbie, I think it's Debbie Prowl, one of the two Debbies at the county superintendent's office met with Donna and Kristen, and we have basically a clean bill of health. We had that cleaned up. So we've cleaned up the credit card issue. We've cleaned up that issue. We are attaching, I believe, and I can only say what I know we're attaching documentation. I believe we've done that to 100% of our purchases and our documentation on journal entries. That's the one thing that's very tricky with journal entries. And so if you can do your finances and not have to go back in and make a journal entry. And a journal entry generally means either you made a mistake the first time, you charged it to the wrong, code or whatever, but there was something that wasn't quite right. So you go in and you make a journal entry to take the money away from paying it or charging it to this account and charge it to the other account. But if you – sometimes it's a little confusing because you think you're doing that and you're actually double what you did. You know what I mean? So if you go in and you don't get the journal entry right, you actually could double the deficit. If you were planning on doing a journal entry and moving it from M&O to one of the grants or vice versa, and the way you wrote the journal entry up, Donna, you can maybe explain it a little better than I, but the way you write the journal entry up, if you don't write it exactly so it does what you say, then you actually could make it worse, mm-hmm. because you could take money and move it and move it the wrong direction.
Yeah, if you use it as a debit and it should have been a credit. That's why I go back when I get ready to do journals. I go back to the original transaction and see where, if it was credited or debited, and then I go forward from that and then make the journal entry.
And that's what we have to attach to the journal entry when we do it, so they can look and see what we did the first time and then a little information on why we had to change it. And so, I mean, personally, I know we don't have enough people touch the cash, but they haven't even written that down for us because we've had other findings. So from all of the things that we have on this list right here, that really is the one thing that I think, and Donna might have a different opinion, but I think the one area that I would think, that if we have an issue, it's going to be with journal entries. But that's just my gut feeling. Otherwise, I believe these are all taken care of. And what it comes down to now is that Donna and Kristen have to make sure that we've attached documents. Every time we do a transaction, anytime we do, that we just attach documents. Because if you don't attach them, you can't show, like if we go to purchase something and we don't attach the documents or we don't attach the procurement that we went through or the license number, I think that's what they call it, off of some of the state bids like Mojave and some of these others where we don't have to get three bids if we take it from a company that's on a state bid because they have to give us the best price. But if we don't attach their license number, it may be fine that they're on a state bid. It may be everything's fine, but if we don't attach a license number, then we're going to get dinged for it. So there's a lot of little things, and it's really a lot about dotting the I's and crossing the T's and making darn sure that you're doing those things correctly.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through G.
I'll second.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Okay. The first action, or the action item on this is, way back in 2014 or 2013, 2014 was the last year that NACO offered a pre-K. Okay, Don, you probably remember it.
I do.
But what happened when they went away from the pre-K, because I believe it was like we only had a couple of kids, it ended up mainly being special ed kids, everybody else had to pay a tuition, nobody wanted to pay a tuition, so we didn't have very many kids, if I remember. But that's what I – do you have anything better to add to that, Don? Because I know you were – you
because it
okay.
was kind of a short-lived event.
Yeah. And so what happened was when it was disbanded, there was never any board minutes, or at least no board minutes that were sent to the state. So the state right now is passing a new kindergarten assessment test. And a lot of this ties in with the preschool stuff. And so all of a sudden we started getting these, I don't know if you want to call them requests or demands. When they come from the state, they may be requesting, but it seems more like a demand on things for a preschool. And we don't have a preschool. And we talked to them, and they said, well, excuse me, it says you have a preschool here. So until we have board document that says minutes from the board meeting that says you no longer have a preschool, you have a preschool. And so they won't give us the information on the kindergarten enrollment test until we provide them with information that we don't have a preschool, because if we had a preschool, we'd already have the approval from the state to get into the kindergarten enrollment test. So this is a formality that we need to say that the preschool classroom in NACO was canceled from the year 2014-15 or 2014-15 school year moving forward to the present. And then to that motion, I will add the CTEDS number, CTDS number, which is Donna usually has it memorized, but it's a bunch of zeros with a couple of twos and threes in it. And I have that in my desk drawer. And by writing that on there with the motion for and the minutes, and it's got to be a signed copy, that the state will allow us to get into the kindergarten enrollment test.
Well, and you know, so do we have any idea if it was 2014-15 approximately, right? I mean, I still have the records pertaining to all those.
We went back and we looked, and Miss Elias went to the we pulled the file of the lady who was the teacher, and the last year that she worked there was 2013-2014.
Okay.
So that's where we came up with 2014-2015.
So we can technically still rectify this without going to back to our agendas and so forth anyway, right?
Right. This will clarify that. That's what we asked them, and they said this is what you have to do, and then we will be able to give you access.
That is strange, though.
It's really strange that they're giving the state a new test. Everybody statewide gets it, but if it says you have a preschool, you already would have had access. Because it's to the preschool curriculum, the GOLD, TSA GOLD or whatever the acronym is. But that's the curriculum that they're going to test off of. So it's got social, emotional, you know, and a bunch of academic different tests. So I don't know. It's they just are making you jump through a hoop. But apparently, since it was never officially canceled with the state, they've had us down for having a preschool. And I've got emails inviting me to meetings and things, for preschool. But since we didn't have one, I'd never have gone.
Even got off the ground. So basically, all we're going to do is approve the cancellation of the preschool classroom that never existed.
Okay. As far as the state's concerned, we had one. Okay. So that's why we have to cancel it, because otherwise,
money.
Yeah, it's the, and they don't give you any money for it. So
I
it's,
know.
It's
kidding.
Mr. Manchin, is there going to be an enrollment test to get into kindergarten?
No, it basically is going to be like, we already do that growth assessment test at the start anyway, but it'll be kind of like what we did 2 years ago when we had the kids that were a little young. They're going to test, and then what they're going to do is they're going to get a baseline, and then they're going to have you redo that test a couple times during the year. So, unfortunately, what that's going to do is it's just going to add a couple more tests to the kindergartners.
But it's also just to see the progression, right?
Right. And everybody that's a title school has to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But this is their way of including everybody. And my hope, as I shared when we got this information with them in a meeting, I just said, hopefully what the state will do now is take a look at where all the kids come in, and they can see the growth, so that they don't expect when, you get in some of the big towns and they've got tons of preschools and you get, say, 25 kindergartners in a classroom and 24 of them have gone to preschool, well, they have a huge advantage over us, this year we had 5 kids that went to preschool last year, and that's a fairly high number. The year before we had 7. Previous years we had 1 or 2. So that's a huge disadvantage when you're in a rural area when there aren't a lot of preschools. So hopefully what they'll do is look at this data and realize that in the rural areas, you're really comparing apples to oranges. When you take Naco Kindergarten and you compare it to a place in Phoenix or Tucson or Flagstaff where all those kids have gone to preschools and things since they were 3, and you look at the end of the kindergarten year and how many of those kids are reading to how many of our kids are reading and where they're at versus where we're at, and they don't take into effect where you started out. So it may be something that's good and it helps balance the field, and maybe it'll give them some data where they'll come back and say, okay, we definitely see that there's a need to put some more money in the rural areas to get to maybe an equal playing field. So I don't know. I just know, this whole thing with the preschool felt kind of crazy to me. And I'm not for more days of testing, and maybe with the kindergarten, maybe what we'll do is we'll use this test instead of having them take our Renaissance test, because I don't think adding 2 or 3 more testing days for kindergartners is a great thing. I think we need them, because they're doing social emotional and academic and learning their alphabet and reading and phonics and all that kind of stuff. They don't really need 3 more days of testing or splitting it up and making it 6 different days of half a day testing. That just gets to be too much for little people.
It's overkill
little people.
Anyway, I think. So. All righty.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to approve action item A.
One second.
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Is there anything that anybody had a question on? Because otherwise, I have a superintendent's report where I have a few different things for you guys.
It goes with this one. That's
for the 301 money. It goes with that one.
That's the money.
Yeah, the one that's got the terrible handwriting and the names you can't read, that's...
It looks like a doctor wrote that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what my mom said. I should have been a doctor. You know, I just...
Fortunately, yeah, I can read most
unfortunately.
Every name on that list, but not everybody can.
Well, right, so
I have to say, pretty much for most of them.
Mm-hmm. I included some things for you guys, and I just wanted to touch base on them before I get into the report, because I don't think. But I gave you a document that we went through with the business, the two business ladies, about how we're restructuring and dispersing different duties in the office, and that'll be an ongoing thing as you know, we. We're basically putting Kristen through all the trainings now. Donna is helping, showing Kristen how we do these different things after Kristen goes to trainings. And then Kristen is taking on more more things. And then Donna is able to do everything, the attaching of all the documentation and everything. We're not feeling rushed. We're able to get all that done. So this is what we're going by right now. There are some items in there that are not color-coded. Most of the time that's, you know, different people than those two that are doing it, or they're both doing it. I tried to color-code it and make it nice, but it leaves a little bit to be desired, I think.
Very pretty.
But that way you guys had an idea who was doing what, because I think... when I sat down and I went through and I reached out to one of my old business managers, and I know how anal and detail-oriented she is, and so I got kind of a breakdown from them, and then I searched the web to get a breakdown of business office duties in Arizona, and so I tried to combine the two and make sure we are doing everything and we're covering and we're making sure we're getting the training for whoever needed it and all that kind of stuff. So I just thought it would be good if you guys saw what we're, where people are at and what we're trying to do. Since most of tonight's meeting dealt with the business office and our office and everything else. And if you guys see something, and I know you can't go through it all right now, but if you see something on there and you have any questions, you could certainly reach out to Donna or just reach out to me and let me know what you have a question on, and I'll try to explain it if there's anything. You know, sometimes they use fancy terms or they've got the acronyms in there because they assume everybody knows what every acronym stands for, and so that's not necessarily the truth. And this would be something, if you wanted to make notes on it, if we were able to set up a retreat, this would be another thing that we could revisit during that time and give you guys a little time to hash through it, and then I could we could answer questions, and so you totally have all your questions answered with it. Any questions for me right now?
No.
Okay. All right. So then I'll hit my, I've hit some of the things on my report already, but I didn't put on my report until after I was done. I realized I didn't put on there that that we were a C-rated school now. You know, that's a start. You know, like Don said, you know, that's always kind of been where we were, always wanted to be, was to get to that level, and if we could get higher, that would be wonderful, but it's been difficult, but we're going to keep trying the different interventions and things that we've put in for math and reading. They definitely made a difference last year, and hopefully, you know, with us having another year now and maybe getting a little better at it, it'll be a good push, and you know, if nothing else, just to continue to raise our score. Maybe we can't get, you know, raise our score by 10 points and get to a B-rated school this year. But if we could raise it 5 or 6 points this year and then 5 or 6 points next year, then we could get to a B-rated school. So we just want to not be satisfied where we are, because if we're satisfied, we're probably falling behind. On the superintendent report then, the first thing on there is this Good Sports Grant. Kristen found this Good Sports Grant. Basically what it is they send you a digital catalog, and it's got a whole bunch of different things. She had Mr. Rodriguez come in. I had those two sit down for a while, and they put some different things together that he would like to order for the sports and the PE. With this grant, basically it costs us 10% of their price, and they get everything donated. And then if you go over a certain amount, and I believe the amount, the smallest amount is either $500 or $1,000, then you have to help pay for shipping. But it's, you know, depending upon how much you order and how heavy and all that. But what they've got for us, I listed here, we got soccer balls, a couple of bats, some cones, some dribbling glasses. We had inquired about things like basketballs and uniforms, but apparently they ran out before our order got in. Anyway, it came to $436. And when you take 10% of that, it ended up costing us $43.60. So that stuff is all on the way. And we will have it. The bats meet the code so that our kids can use them for our teams, and 15 soccer balls and the cones and dribbling glasses and things like that. We definitely got our money's worth. And with that grant, we can put in for that grant 6 times over the next year and a half. So we put in for it, and whatever they have, we get. We're going to try to keep ordering baseball and softball uniforms because our pants are probably good for one more year, but our hope is that at some point in the next year and a half, they'll have uniforms, and if we can check the first day of the month when they give us a new catalog and order right away, hopefully we have that. So Mike gave Kristen a whole order, so she's got it sitting there. So first part of the month, she can check and see. And if they have those items available, we can put our order in. It takes about 2 weeks to process, and then you find out what you're going to get. So it's a pretty good deal. It's not completely free, but almost. And it's a good way for us to, you know, get some supplies, not only for sports, but also for our PE. And just to give you an idea, just one of those bats is about $190. So, you know, if we went to the sporting goods store and bought one of those bats, it would be about $190 plus tax, and we're going to get that whole order for $43.60. So it's a pretty good deal. And then the second point, any questions on that?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Who's going to coach baseball this year?
Well, we actually have somebody who came in and asked about it already. I have actually had 2 staff members that have inquired about it. But I told Mike that I think he should get all of the jobs posted so that we have some time, so we're not backed up or anything. So I do know that there were 2 staff members that were interested in coaching baseball. And then we also had a gentleman who runs a booster club and brings food down for the kids when they go on their trips. They either buy them food at, not Hardee's, Burger King or some other snacks. He asked if we had, because he knew Mr. Page had moved. And he asked if we had anything, and we said we hadn't posted it yet. So I think we have at least 3 people that are interested that are in the community right now. So hopefully we'll not have a problem filling it, and we'll actually have multiple people so we can interview for it, really have a good interview.
It's only for softball, right?
Softball, it's too late, yes. Yeah, that's that would softball would have been going on for about a month now. So we you know, ultimately we would have had enough kids to piece together a team. We would have had about 15 or 16 kids, depending on the day when you ask them. But, you know, the kids who, well, they change their minds. You know, they all are going to do it the first day of school, and then they slowly trickle away. But last year, the kids, all the kids that were the pitchers and all that, they kind of, they're all at the high school this year. So a lot of the key positions had moved on. So it would have been a good year for the kids to learn. But we just, you know, we couldn't find anybody that could commit to it. So
we had a few people interested. Anymore?
Say what now?
We couldn't get a coach.
We couldn't get a coach. Really?
Yeah.
And so did you say that Mr. Rodriguez is helping with basketball?
No, no. I'm sorry. If I said Rodriguez, I meant Hernandez.
Oh, you said Rodriguez. No,
I okay. I meant Hernandez. Hernandez coaches the boys basketball,
right.
But he's
so
also the AD.
In sports, I look confused by that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't. I did not mean to say Rodriguez.
Well, that's okay. I was just wondering. I thought he was like, you know.
We would have had a story if Mr. Rodriguez would have been down there.
No,
he doesn't usually go to the gym unless it's testing time. So,
okay, that's okay.
Okay. The second thing I have on the report is the convention. It's called AZSBA now. They added a Z to the School Board Association. And that convention is coming up December 15th and 16th, and they also have a pre-conference day on the 14th, but I have not gotten the drill or the agenda, so I'm not sure what that on the 14th is about. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Because I the new board member orientation.
Yeah, I think it could be that, but I think there's something else for everybody. And, you know, like last year there was something about – it was something for special ed and there was something for some other rural – something with rural districts or something. So I think there's another topic too. So if there's anybody who would like to go, if you would let – either I or Donna know, and we can get registered and get you a motel room. It is on that Thursday and Friday, the 15th and 16th. So I can only recommend that, you know, if there's some point in your career when you can go, it's good. You can ask Brisa. You know, she always, I mean, I know she liked the law conference. That's that's probably my favorite. But the convention has a lot of different things, and you get to meet a lot of people. I think it's really good for networking and things, and you get some good information. So if there's anybody that can go those days, and if you can go all three, that's fine. I will find out what the topics are on the 14th, and I'll try to remember to email you guys so you know.
I might be able to go.
Okay, that would be great. Ms. Romero, are you going to think about going again?
I'm going to – yeah, it's only 14th, 15th, and 16th, you said, right?
Right, the 15th and 16th for sure, and I'm not sure what the 14th is. And Ms. Walker, are you thinking about it?
Because it's different. Get out of here.
Miss Walker, are you thinking about it?
Was it good food?
That's a five. Hey,
I do
you
love
ask Brisa, you ask Brisa about the food.
There's
good food.
Oh, my God. That's what you got. I waited in line for the ice cream for, like, I was like, oh, my God.
The desserts are really good. You just have to keep an eye on Brisa right before the afternoon dessert break because she sometimes
the first one in line. let me just because I need to ask my
okay.
My
just
other
shoot. Job. Yeah, just shoot me an email. I can get us all registered, or Donna can because I have to get Donna to do PO for it anyway.
Okay.
But if you guys could let me know by. Even by Thanksgiving, we can get it registered. The only thing would be is getting into that motel. If the earlier we know, the better chance we have of being able to be on site.
Okay.
I think you all would enjoy it, and then what we would do on that December 6th meeting is we would we would make a public notice that two or more of you are going to be at that meeting, just so the public knew.
Considering I have 100 people approximately crossing through my property every day, I don't really see that being realistic for me.
Maybe then when it gets closer to Christmas, they'll take a couple of weeks off.
That doesn't happen. That makes it that's busier time,
actually. All right.
They broke in my house, you know. That happened.
Yeah, no, I know. I was just trying to give you a little grief and try to see if I could edge you to coming with us, because I think you'd enjoy it. All right. So the third thing I have down is we're planning a couple of Christmas events. Or holiday events, whatever you want to say, so we're politically correct. We are going to have a holiday program on December 20th. That's Tuesday. It will be a K-5 program. And what we're going to do to try to make it, because you guys all know when the little kids come, you know, everybody that has known them for the last 8 or 10 years of their life shows up. What we're going to do is we're going to do it in two groups. We're going to have the K-1 to perform. And then we're going to take them back to their rooms, and anyone who doesn't have anybody older will be able to leave. We'll have about a 25-30 minute break in between, and then we'll have the third, fourth, and fifth grade come down from their rooms, and then they'll do their part of the program. And then hopefully we'll get it so we can get everybody into the seats and, you know, make it a nice little smooth thing. They're planning their songs and dances and skits right now, and they'll be practicing. And then the second thing that we're going to do is we're going to do a little, the music classes are going to do a little sing-along where they've got 8 or 9 songs, and then that last day, the 21st, we're going to all go down to the gym, and the two music teachers and all of the music classes are going to lead the school in a sing-along. I thought that would be kind of fun and get them all together, you know, to have a little bit of fun in the gym. And since we'll already have the bleachers out, it'll be okay, and it should work out okay. So, you know, trying to keep the size of the crowd in the gym at one time down if we can, just with, you know, flu, COVID, and CSV or whatever it is, that acronym for it that's going around, trying to keep those numbers down. So the middle school, they only have 25 kids in the music class, and they really didn't want to. The music teachers didn't really want to be part of the program because we would only have 25 of the middle schoolers, and then, you know, we'd be leaving some kids out. So we just said they asked if they could do a sing-along and invite everybody, so we kind of went with that to get everybody involved.
What time will this be?
I think we'll probably start it at 6 o'clock, give everybody a chance to get home from work and then come back up. We'll do the K-1-2 at about 6 o'clock, maybe 6:15, and then we'll do the 3-4-5 probably. I'm figuring it's going to take that first group about 35-40 minutes, and then we'll take a 20-minute to 30-minute break, and then we'll do that second group. So that second group will be probably more like 7:15 to 7:30-ish. So, and we'll get that figured out once. I still have like 3 or 4 teachers that are trying to decide what they're going to do. And then once I know who's going to do multiple songs and who's going to do a skit and who's going to do a dance, and then we can kind of figure out how long it's going to take for each group and get the timetable out to the parents.
We can't do both things in one day?
Say what now?
We can't do both things in one day?
Well, the sing-along we're going to do instead of doing Christmas parties and stuff, if they're going to have a little day of fun, they can do a little bit in the morning, then we'll go do the sing-along, then we go back to lunch, and then they'll go back to their room and finish it if they have a little Christmas party, and then they'll go home. The music people did a concert already over Halloween, and they didn't really want to do another evening one right now because they're planning another evening one here coming up in either February or March. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, otherwise I had planned on including all the music classes, but they didn't really want to do a formal one. They just wanted to do one that they thought they could have fun with. So
the song would be on the 21st, like during In the morning, right?
Yes, the 21st, the music one, and it will be, I think we said 9:45 because they wanted about 45 minutes to do it. So I think that'll work. 10:30, we get the kids to start going to recess, and then we have lunch, and then you know, by the time we get done feeding everybody, it'll be almost time to go home. So
what about the 21st? Do instead of the 20th in the evening, do it on the 21st in the evening?
They get out early on the 21st.
21st, they're going to get out early because then people will travel to. Then they can travel to leave. Why, you don't work the 21st?
No, I work both days. I have to.
Because the 21st they get out early, so then if they have to leave, then they leave like the parents for.
But didn't we always used to have it in the evening after the kids went home and came back and had them in the evening anyway?
That's what we're going to do on
the
21st.
They leave early. They get out early, and parents, if parents need to leave for Christmas vacation or whatever, they leave. So that's why he made it on the 20th.
A lot of them go. Like,
a lot of them just
see their families
leave,
and stuff.
They leave as
right.
Early as they can.
So we'll do it on the evening of the 20th. The regular K through 5, that'll be in the at night, and then the other ones just during the day. It's kind of a little celebration with just the kids and the music class leading it. So. Tried to have something a little light and fun for them, and they thought that was a good idea. The teachers liked it, and the music teachers liked it. So, let's see. Letter 4, I think we already talked about that letter, the corrective action plan. We all have 90 days to submit it. They will get us the information, and they'll show us the form they would like us to put this corrective action plan into, and then we have 90 days to get it submitted. So that will be coming up probably. That probably will be my Thanksgiving present will be getting the template and being able to start working on that corrective action plan for the AGs. ADE accepted what we have, but the AG wants us to probably be a little more thorough and specific, and they have a specific template we have to use. And then the last thing there, I just put down, I know this is a really busy time of year, and maybe it would be better to wait until January, but if there was a way where we could find an evening to have a little retreat, to talk about a lot of different things. One of the things obviously is all the stuff that we have that's coming up as far as a timeline and fixing the school. And we could also talk about this corrective action plan. We can talk about, I guess, anything that, you know, we put an agenda together. And then after we have that, at the following board meeting after that retreat, then we would just have the president give a little brief report so that, the public knows what you did at your retreat. And if you don't have time for it now, you know, I guess we could wait. I just thought this was a good time, but I also know how busy this time of year is, so... I just thought I'd get your thoughts on that.
Were you thinking like during the week or like a Saturday or Sunday?
Well, you know, I mean,
I can prepare my speech.
Yeah. Well, I know I don't want to cut into your social life, but
oh, yes.
Sunday night works for me as well. I don't know what's better for everybody.
I'm curious about what does it mean to discuss what our comfort level the board has.
I'm very comfortable.
what do we want to talk about? I really would like to go through the stuff that's going to happen with the construction, and the gentleman who's who got the bid and did all of the testing and all that. They help line up the bids for all the different jobs that'll be coming with SFB. And so, like, I would like to at least talk with you guys so you have an idea of what I see, and I want to know how comfortable you are with that, because we won't have the ability to close down and just do the repairs in the summer and be done doing four roofs And, you know, like most of the windows and all of the doors and the different, you know, there's just a lot of things. And so I kind of thought maybe to talk through some stuff so that I had an idea what you guys were comfortable with. You knew what I was thinking with that stuff. And that way we were ready to roll when this guy comes in. You know, I can tell him, yeah, I'm going to take this and we're going to talk about it at the board meeting, but I already have an idea how comfortable you are with what I'm thinking, because I think we're going to have to probably do some things in segments, you know, and close off, you know, maybe we're lucky enough to be able to close off that whole elementary building with special ed K through 5 over there in the kitchen and do all the remodeling in there and get the roof done and all the windows and the doors and all that kind of stuff. But it might come to where we can't do that, so then we have to piece it together and do one wing. So what are we going to do if the construction falls into the year? What would you do with the classrooms? And we could talk about what I think we could do if it ran over into the year and we had, you know, I'm just thinking for my sake so that you know what I'm thinking. But again, that could sit and wait until January if you want. That I'm fine with that too. I just thought I'd bring it up. But after I started thinking about it, I know how busy things get. So I don't know if January is better or not.
When do they plan on starting the construction?
Well, that's all into up to SFB. They're in the middle of the process of going through, and they're going to start looking at the different bids that we bring in. And, you know, they just asked us if we do get another study done for the drainage. So that we can make sure that the water's running away from the school instead of backing up and we don't have mold and things like that. Hang on one second.
I was wondering if maybe practical to have summer school that year if they're going to have all this construction going on.
Maybe like in spring? Is that when they're looking into maybe starting?
Yeah. I think we should have the freedom to not have to.
We only have 1 week off.
I got to take my little man to the bathroom, so I'll just bring the phone with me. He's just woke up. He's running.
Feel free to have the privacy if you so choose.
But, I mean, if you guys want to wait, I'm fine with waiting. I just...
we don't want him to
wait. John just brought like a good idea that maybe...
Okay.
Since we have the summer school program going on, if maybe we don't have it for this summer, and just that way they can focus more on the construction and the kids are not being
under
any, you know.
I think it'd be a good idea for them to just
maybe that's a good idea with Don, so maybe that's something that you can also think about.
That was one of the things I'd like to talk about, because I think one of the things is with this ESSER money, okay, we have $200,000+, and the only thing we can spend it on is we can spend it on summer school, after school programming. It's very limited. So what we looked at was if we did summer school, but we moved the elementary over to be in those rooms right there by the library and in the middle school rooms, and we gave them that area to work on. And the only thing is, as you know, whenever you deal with construction people, they're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. So can you guys get this done in a month and a half? Oh, no problem. You know, and then you get to almost a month and a half out, and they're not able to do it, and now all of a sudden, you know, you got to have a plan B or C or whatever. So that's the only thing. I just, you know. Say what now?
Can we bring in traders to put have temporary classrooms?
Well, that's another thing we could look at. The only thing is then that's money that you have to spend. The state won't give us that money.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they'll be temporary.
Yeah, and so, you know, if you go and if we're gonna rent one for a whole year, you get a better price if you rent them for shorter terms. You pay more per month than you would normally. So, I mean, those were all things that I thought maybe we could talk about, so you know that we're at least looking into different stuff. But if we have to, if we spend that money, that's money that's coming out of our pocket. We won't get reimbursed from the state SFB for that. So it's a possibility.
I think if we meet back to meeting, I think my thing will be more, it'll be a lot better if we do it in January.
Okay.
To be honest.
Well,
so that's,
and you know,
if anybody else has any other suggestions, I'm fine with them as long as I have maybe like, if I can have like 2 weeks, that way I can, because of my, it doesn't matter in Jan. Because
what about that first week in January? We can decide in at December 6th, but maybe if everybody were to bring two or three dates or days, but that
date?
Whole week, I'm going to be there, but we don't have kids. So, I mean. What was that?
You want us to bring two or three dates? I can't even get one.
No. Two or three days, not dates. Goodness gracious. Mr. Almos, I kind of depend on you to keep things under control.
He's standing down right now. He's not
getting
involved on this
at all. I'm not the president.
Oh, my gosh. He's like, no.
Is there food involved in this meeting?
Is there what now?
Food involved?
Well, remember, I brought food last time, and I think you guys brought desserts.
But I mean, like, good food.
Well, okay, last time I brought tacos because people told me tacos was good.
Tacos?
Marker, I'll get you a marker.
January 2nd or 3rd?
Something like that would be great. We can decide on at December 6th meeting if that's all right.
Oh,
I mean, I'm fine with waiting till then, but you guys check your schedules and then just have an idea.
No? December, can you guys do December 8th for the meeting?
What day of the week are that? I can do any day that week.
I just, that's the Tuesday. So if everybody
about,
else is good.
We're talking about a meeting. We're talking about powwow.
Yeah. No. Well, partly.
Well,
okay, so, okay, let's go back to December meeting. Can we do, and Mr. Ramos wants to know if we can do the 8th instead of the 6th.
I can do that. Are you guys good with it?
Yes. Okay. We'll switch it to the 8th.
Okay.
I'm not going to study this more than we are.
School board meeting.
Okay, school board meeting December 8th, which is a Thursday at 5:15.
Okay.
And then for the meeting of us, what is it? The get together?
We'll set the retreat.
The retreat?
For January, but we'll set it at the December 8th meeting.
That way we can bring you dates of what's good for all
correct.
Three of us.
What works for you guys? Yep.
The second or the third works for me. Actually, it's going to be the morning time, right?
Because we won't have kids. So if you guys had certain times
or any day that week.
Yeah, just so Brisa doesn't call in sick and get in trouble or anything.
It can be. I'll give you my dates when I come back.
Yeah, we'll do it on December 8th.
December 8th is the meeting for board meeting, and then make sure to bring at least how many dates?
At least two or three dates. And Mr. Almost said the second and third work for him, so if they either of those work for you or Don, that's fine with me too. I was planning on coming back on the 3rd, but I can come back on the 2nd as well.
Well, no, 2nd doesn't work or 3rd for me.
It doesn't matter to me. So whatever works for you guys, I'll make work.
That's why, because the 2nd.
So why don't we just are we settling on a day? We're talking 10
days.
Okay. He says that any day of the week will work for him. As long as it's in the morning.
Okay.
Because there's no school.
Is this about retreat time?
Yeah.
That's the retreat time.
There won't be school until the 9th.
Right.
January.
Are you taking any vacation that week?
Okay, well, we'll set the date on the 8th then. We'll just set it the 8th. You guys, if you got days that absolutely do not work, bring those then.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Anything else you guys have a question on?
No.
Why'd you give us this policy about
there was a. I was asked a question about if we get information or anything from people. And so there is a policy. I forgot about it, but Jackie Clay, when I was talking to her, told me, look at the policy. I can't remember off the top of it.
Tim,
BDI,
I hate to tell you, but that was never my intention anyway. I was not asking you to do anything in the public as far as discussion went. That was not,
oh, okay.
I never approached it like that. At all.
Okay. Then I misunderstood. I'm sorry. I was just giving it to everybody so everybody had the same information, because I didn't know that that was the policy in Arizona. I just know that that's been the policy where I've been before. So I didn't know. I didn't know that was the policy through AZSBA. But Jackie knew it, so she told
me. My opinion is that I think people need to have a voice, and if they do not feel that they are comfortable enough coming to their administrator, we have to find a bridge in order to facilitate that.
What people?
This is not something we should talk about right now in an open meeting. It really is not.
Well, that's why I'm just making a statement.
Yeah.
That was not my intention whatsoever.
Okay. All right. Well, I misunderstood then. I'm sorry. That's why I just gave you the policy.
The policy? It was not in your package.
I just gave it to you three. I didn't give it to Donna.
No, I don't have a copy of mine. I mean, in my package.
You skipped her.
There should have been. I'm sorry. There should have been.
Now, if they had donuts stuck to it, maybe I would have found it.
If it had a picture of donuts, you
might have found it. No, I didn't find it. It wasn't in here, so.
Okay. Maybe Donna could make a copy for you.
Well, I just gave her mine.
She gave me hers.
Okay. Okay. All right. I've got to.
Okay.
We need to try to feed him and probably give him some medication. So, All right. And you guys can always call me if you got any questions.
Okay. I'd like to move to close the meeting.
Second the motion.
Aye.
What's that? What time is it there?
6:40.
Okay, 6:40. Thank you very much. Boom, boom, boom.
Good luck.
Donna motion. Don motion, I second.
Don motioned, you second. Okay. Yes. At what time was it?
6:40.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, you voted then, 3-0?
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a good one.
All right, thank you guys. All right.
And I'll express our sympathies to your wife and her family.
Oh, I will. It was just a lot of things going on. Just crazy. So I appreciate you guys.